Dude Sweet is a podcast about dudes trying to be better dudes, and dudes of all kinds and shapes and sizes, big dudes, little dudes, medium-sized dudes, average dudes, sub-average dudes, above-average dudes, any dudes you can think of. Brought to you by project-nerd.com for all of your nerdly needs.
And if you can find cheaper dudes anywhere else, fuck it!
I was going to keep going and just say every type of dude I could think of. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Dude Sweet.
Dude Sweet, your podcast for all of your dudely needs.
Fuck that, it's Dude Sweet podcast.
I was like, who's going to yell first?
I am.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Dude Sweet. My name is Ian Douglas Terry.
My name is Brian Keith Nelson, a.k.a. Black Seeker.
There it is.
That's right.
This is a podcast about being better dudes. Mostly it's just every 3 months we're going to complain about something. But that's the way life is.
Indeed. It went from, hey, every 2 weeks we're dropping podcasts where we're talking about different walks of life, different paths, different ideas.
We used to have guests.
Mindsets, everything, guests. Now it's just every so often it's just like, man.
I'm going to blame the pandemic.
Fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you.
You figure it'd be easier to get guests now since everybody has this shit and has been doing remote shit, but
nope.
It's just as hard. I think we're just.
Everybody's like fucking around, not trying to be on camera still, which I applaud.
Yeah. Also, I think people just don't want to talk to us. But that's fine.
That's fair. That's also fair.
Stern but fair, dude.
Yo, hey. I'm cool with who I am. You ain't got to stick around. That's fine. I don't give a fuck. If you want to stay, welcome. Thank you. I love it. If you don't, bye. Thanks for the good times. Adios.
There you go. So.
Nah, but before we continue, you got to show off. You got to show off that new. You got to show off the new ink. That's right. That's right.
How does this? Everyone, can you? I'm going to rub the tattoo on the microphone. I'm rubbing it so people can hear it.
You act like you've never shown anything before.
Like this. Well, I'd have to stand up, bro. Right? There, okay.
For anyone who's just listening, Ian is showing off his new tattoo on his arm, but he's pretending like he has never once presented anything in his life before. Like, he's never stood on stage with a microphone. Like, he's never tried to hustle some shit for some money.
I'm on camera 5 hours a day. We'll just establish that.
See,
right,
you know how to present.
Yeah. So I was in New Orleans. We'll talk about that because I think there's a lot of observations I had that would be interesting to discuss, but
love it.
Got a tattoo. It was kind of last minute, not really, but my girlfriend decided she wanted to get a tattoo and she got a little shrimp, which is just, that's nice. Just fun. Gotta get a little shrimp, but little I'd been shrimp. Wanting to get a tombstone that said hell yeah on it for years because it's a very symbolic tattoo for me. The death of hell yeah.
We still say it, but that's an era. That's a very specific era.
That was an era, so it's a nice way to acknowledge that that era is dead and buried, and I'm too old to do anything anymore. Dude, I went to our friend of the show, Brandon, a.k.a. Bruce Rogers.
Shout out.
Yeah, had his bachelor party last night.
Fucking monster truck. Yep. Bachelor party. I'm not in town to make it, but you, if I was in town, 1000% my high ass would have been there with all the gummies in the world.
It was.
I definitely would have been smoking there because they wouldn't give a fuck. Yeah. Like, they didn't give a fuck when we were smoking at the Ozzy Osbourne concert like 12 years ago. They don't give a fuck now.
I truly love that because bachelor parties are just. I would never. One, I'll probably never get married, but we'll see how that goes. But two, it's just like, to me, it's just like, come on. Why?
Yeah.
Why you got to do that? Yeah. But Brandon did a very cool thing where it was Monster Jam at fucking Empower Field, a.k.a. Mile High Stadium, and I'd never been to anything in Mile High except for like a random beer festival that wasn't in the actual, you know, stadium.
Oh yeah, I remember when they were doing that. Yeah. I didn't go.
But. Yeah, but it was amazing. Saw the big trucks go. They were really doing it. They were jumping around. I took an edible before I walked over there. You know, it was magical.
Good. Yeah, you got. I mean, you know, it's a lot of loud noises, and it's just one of those things that you just got to make the experience. Yeah.
And there were children wearing gravedigger masks, screaming, like just it was little demons, and I'm kind of high, and I'm just like, all right, here we go.
Yep. It's like you high. You have to be around all those screaming little kids and then all the noise and stuff. It's like, look, just go watch Destruction over there. I wish I could remember the guy, the monster truck rally joke that I made at one of our radio shows.
Oh man.
I called it the getaway for stepdads or something.
There you go.
Like that.
There were a lot
something
of those.
Like that. I don't know. There was a lot. I was just throwing a lot.
Yeah. There was a,
it was fun.
It was cool though. Cause then, Brandon and his brother are like way into it. Like they went to those a lot. So they were telling me, I was like, how does this all work? Who's that? Yeah. What's going on? And just to know that that truck used to be the Goldberg truck from when there was a Goldberg
truck. I remember the Goldberg truck. Yes, sir.
It was cool. It was a lot of fun. But what I found out is like a few hours of doing anything on a weekend at night, that's it. I'm like, well.
It's a wrap.
Yep. I'm getting tired.
It's a wrap.
And they were all going to go to a bar and I'm like, Godspeed.
Nope. I'm good. You metal headbangers, fucking, I know y'all got ramped up by this, but I've gotten rather exhausted. I would have been on that train with you. Guys, this was a fun night, but the monster trucks really took it all out of me, so I'm going to get my old ass home.
Like, I left it all on the field there with the boys. Well, I guess...
Like, look, guys, I don't know if you guys understand this, but we're internal, like, we're nerds who prefer to be inside.
Yeah.
I know you guys are like metalhead nerds and you do all like you love like I love Brandon. He's great.
Yeah.
Like the metal, the Godzilla, like everything. He's a great dude. He's fantastic, man. There's obviously more to him than just that. But I like to be inside.
Yeah.
More. Yeah. I like to be.
Dude, it was wonderful. But yeah, like
unless I'm like hiking.
Yeah.
I want to. And then that's the hypocrisy of me. I don't want to be outdoors unless I'm really doing something I want to do. Other than that,
that's a Zen experience, though.
It is.
Yeah. So let's talk about New Orleans, because there's a lot of stuff that we've talked about in this podcast in the past that correlates to this trip. So it's very interesting. So my girlfriend and I decided this is like back in around my birthday, so back in February, so like 2 or 3 months ago. It's like, hey, let's go to New Orleans. We both have remote jobs. We can go instead of just going for a weekend, which is always nice, but also just you're trying to pack tons of shit into like a couple days. Yeah. So it's like, let's go for a week. We'll work from there. And then at night we'll go out and do stuff. And so we booked an Airbnb, got pretty cheap flights. Awesome. Good to go. Now, what was really interesting, there was a lot, but kind of with the kickoff is when we left, it was still masks in airports when we flew down. The day we flew back was the day they were like, no more masks in airports. So it was this very interesting like energy where like the masks in airports should just be a thing regardless. Because
it always should have been like that was my thing with flying. I was like, this is rather unsanitary. Yeah.
And especially with it's been a while, but the Denver airport has become like a Mad Max shanty town. It's insane. Like the amount of people, there's just people like on the ground, like everywhere. It's like they're trying to fit the most people ever into a place. And it's not like it's just wild. Where,
dude, it's like that when I take all my flights and my flights are like leaving at midnight or something, or they're arriving at midnight and I'm like, what in the hell is happening here? And why are you all here
and like
flying into
so I was, and then I'd been in the Houston airport from when I went down to Texas. I'd been in Burbank when I went out to LA, and then in Costa Rica, that was a whole thing. But like all the other airports, they're much smaller, they're nicer, there's not human beings every like square foot. very interesting to just be like, what is going on here? This is not...
Denver became some weird hub.
Yeah.
And made them, like, expand everything, and it more stops. I mean, I guess when you look at it, really, Colorado is kind of right in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Like, kind of smack dab in the middle. So anywhere you really want to get. And now people have reasons to come here. Like, before
that's
that,
it true. Was...
Mountains, Stanley Hotel.
Skiing. Yeah.
And skiing. So, like, that's all you had. And all that shit was up in the mountains. So, like, Aspen, everything up there. No one came to Denver.
Yeah.
People, like, no one was like, I'm going to Denver. No, you're going to Colorado. As soon as, like, things became legal and everything, then people were like, oh, we want to come to Denver. Here, you can come.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
Oh. A big thing that I noticed is, so they were like, Denver's now, or at some point in the most recent future, Denver was like the third most busy airport in the world. So worldwide, Denver was number three for being busy. And I'm like,
it's all those Illuminati sacrifices.
And I'm like, that's cool, but build a bigger fucking train before we do that. Like, what? Like, you're like, we're gonna add all this stuff. Also, it's still a very tiny train that you're gonna be like, what is it, nuts to butts with people. It's like, yeah. I feel like I'm in Japan with when they show how they're like, but it's like everybody people sucks
shoved in.
Yeah, it's like if everyone in Japan sucked, that's the Denver airport train.
America. Japan, but everybody sucks.
But like, yeah. And then so the flight back with no more masks, I shouldn't have been shocked that it was went from like everyone wearing masks to like 20% of the people wearing them, because it's like, okay. And I'm like, I personally don't give a shit. Like, I'm just like, I'm gonna wear it because I don't want to get sick, period.
Yeah.
But like,
it does, like, that is the thing. When I do wear the mask when I go to public places, I don't get sick.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed that. Yeah. And it's just like, it has an effect. So I'm gonna keep wearing masks going forward when I'm in public places I'd rather not be.
Yeah.
And if you look at me weird, you can say something.
Yeah, try it. See, yeah. But, like, it's weird, though, because I think the energy, and it might have been me in my head, but it felt like all of a sudden all the, like, ding-dongs that were being jerks about stuff were, like, they're like, ha-ha, I won. And it's like, what did you win? You're going to get
the flu. Well, but the thing is, that was going to happen regardless. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they were going to feel like that because, yes, eventually things were going to happen, like, just to very briefly get into this, if you really want to get into the whole shit when everyone started feeling empowered about Trump coming into fucking presidency, and he's like, look, he has all these jobs and he's doing all this shit for people. Like, what has anyone else ever fucking done? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, a lot of that was because the policies that were put in place were meant to be, again, we've talked about this, were meant to prosper into the next president's term, and you would have to pretty much intentionally fuck it up for it to get fucked up the way it has.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what, like, people take all this credit for shit, but it's all my whole issue with a lot of people's very intellectual and composed and professional conversations.
Yeah.
You guys all scratch the surface level shit. You never really get to the issue of the problem. You're like, oh, this is visually what we see, so this is what we can put it on.
Yeah.
You're not going to the root of the issue. Like, everyone likes to peel back the scab, but nobody really wants to be like, how the fuck did I get there in the first place?
Yeah, and like, I really got to see the full dichotomy of the whole masks on airplanes thing. Because then we were on our flight, and listen, Southwest, shout out. Southwest is just great for a lot of reasons. But we always do since it's my girlfriend and I, there's always like the two-seater. But then there's one where the person gets to stretch their legs on the left of me, and we just get that two-seater, and we don't have to worry about anything. But we did that, and there was a dude who, like, and I heard this multiple times when we were in New Orleans, where the person's like, yeah, I barely ever wear a mask, and I've only had COVID twice. And it's like, hold on, sir, excuse me. Hold on. Okay. But so the guy said that, and then he was talking to the it's not a stewardess. Oh, old brain. Flight attendant.
Oh.
And he was like, yeah, that's...
I was about to say, that sounds right.
Yeah. And so the dude was like, yeah, it's just such a relief that, you know, it's just over. Like, I don't care if people do it. I don't care if they don't. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah. But you had COVID twice, so... But, and then the flight attendant was like, I'm just happy because now I don't have to constantly be arguing with people. And she's like, you could tell it was like, she's probably had like a year and a half of the worst job.
It's such a relief, yeah. I bet, because you just have to deal with the selfishness, the entitlement, and the ignorance, yeah. of people.
And it's like, your job is awesome, but you're not a cop. Like that they're yeah. trying to make, they're trying to make flight attendants like the police. De-escalate
situations yeah. that police officers themselves can't even fucking yeah. properly de-escalate most of the time.
So, yeah, so that was interesting. But yeah, but the New Orleans trip, shame. Oh my God. Like,
shame.
And I know that you've taken some exploratory trips recently, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's just, it's one of those things just trying to get out there, yeah. you know. But it's also, you know, I get really trip envious, and it's not in like a bad way. It's kind of one of those ways where it's, I know I'll experience that, so I can't kind of wait till I get there. Type of envy. It's more so that I want to be there experiencing that with the people.
Yeah.
Like, I have friends, like my homeboy Brandon, shout out my homeboy Brandon, he vacations every fucking year, but he busts his ass every fucking year so he can take weeks to maybe even, you know, a month off if he can to go vacation and do all the shit he's always wanted to do because he ain't been able to do yeah. that. Why the fuck not, man? Go do that. Like, I have other friends who do the same thing. Like, I want to go and do that. But, like, for me, my finances are, like, trying to do something else. Like, they kind of all have their things that they work for, too, and I have mine also. Yeah. But the way I work, again, when you... Guys, here's the ups and the downs of trying to run and own all your own shit. You got to put everything into that. Yep. So, no, hey, at least I know this at 31, and I've been trying to work towards that pretty much ever since I was like 18, 19, got out of school and can start working for shit.
Yeah.
Instead of learning it later. But yeah, that's pretty, it's kind of like, you know, what you have to do so they understand. But I want to take trips for those experiences of growth. Because I know you're about to tell me about some, you know, more experiences and everything like that, but it's new. Every time you go somewhere new, you find out something new, like, about yourself, how you're taking things in, how you're really embracing a different culture. And it's really, it is a completely different culture. Like, I know New Orleans is still a part of the United States of America, but it's a completely different culture.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's all pockets of America, but New Orleans is just something special. It's something different. I've, myself, have never been. I will be one day. Like, one day I'll go and visit. There's places I will definitely go visit. Yeah. It's not that I can't. But it's, yeah, it's one of those places where just hearing, you know, history, whatever, not even just, you know, the voodoo, hoodoo, everything, all that aside, just all the like, the rich history from there, just...
That's...
Fucking, dude, it's French, Spanish inspired.
Dude, that's a great...
Creole is pretty much a mixture of, like, these things, and it's a mixture that became its own... And it completely, like, stood out. Like, yo.
I think, like, you just brought up a really valid thing that now when I travel I think about a lot. It's, like, where I grew up wasn't a ton of history. Mm-mm. It was, like, here's some old pioneer shit. Native Americans used to hang out here. Now they're in Oklahoma. And then here's this. Here's an old fort. Yep. And it's, dude, like,
yeah.
being in a place that is old is, like, it. You feel it. You feel yeah. like, oh, this is old as fuck. Look at this.
Yeah. It's like places all throughout Colorado, too. Like, I can't remember the fort in Southeast Colorado, Ben's Fort or something. Yeah. I can't remember. But it's an old fort that stood up, and you just kind of go out there and see. But I was younger, and my mom went and we all kind of, like, went and saw where her and my grandmother and my great-grandmother used to live in this place called Grenada. And you just see, like, the structures of houses that used to be there. And they're like, yeah, we used to live here. And it was just, like, nothing. And you're just like, fuck.
Yeah.
These used to be towns. People used to live here. Like, there's a history here. Like, there's a genuine history throughout, you know, all of here. And then, you know, like, when I was in art school and I was able to go to, like, Greece and Italy and see Ooh. All that. Like, dude, as someone who loved Greek and Roman
That's mythology, real old.
I got to see the Colosseum. I got to go and perform, like, a chunk of a Shakespeare monologue in an amphitheater there. It's fucking awesome.
hell yeah.
I got to see, like, where Agamemnon's tomb and everything, like, was. And go see, even though I'm not a religious person, just yeah. seeing that shit I can see how people back then, without the knowledge of the hindsight, would easily fall for that glorious image and all that shit.
Like, but also, if like, old-ass churches now, are just cool. Like, it's like, look at that big old fucking thing.
They're so gothic-inspired that it is really funny when people think about it, because it's like, it's pretty much two sides of the same coin, except one side of the coin is like, this is the absolute way, this is the only way. And the other side of the coin is like, you guys are fucking hypocrites. Yeah. We don't hate you, but you're hypocrites.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, that's a cool-ass house you put all that bullshit in, but it's still cool. Yeah, dude.
It's still cool. That stained glass those stained glass windows are really awesome when the sunlight hits it.
And I think that's, like, a big part of, like, how I'm trying to travel kind of now is history. Like, my parents just hit me up, and they're like, we got a house in Arizona for a month next January. And my initial brain's like, man, fuck Arizona, Phoenix, all that bullshit. But my parents are, of course, very cool, very smart. And it's, I can't remember the name of the place off the top of my head, but it's basically 40 minutes southeast of Tucson. And then Tombstone is, so it's between Tucson and Tombstone. Where if you know about Tombstone, that's some fucking Wild West history shit. So I'm I've heard great things about Tucson, where it's the Omaha of Arizona, is what my friend James Munoz said. So you know what? I'm like, good move. I'm gonna come down there. I'll be down there. Yeah. I want to go to I want to see historical shit. I don't care about drinking and partying. Show me an old fort or an old tomb, and I'll just kiss it.
Exactly, and that's what like all of this history, like even within our own place, just makes me realize, yo, how things probably actually were. I mean, yes, things are depicted a certain way. I'm not even going to get into all that. We understand that. We get why. However, as somebody now who is, and not just me, but there's a wave of people who are getting more influence and power to now tell these stories and make these things, the harder they fall. Not, this isn't a true story, but these are based off of real characters and people. Yo, all along the border, you want to talk about crazy Wild West history and everything like that? Like, how many different people, how many different encounters? Like, oh, there was always cowboys versus Indians and all this bullshit like that. Okay, yeah, that it was true. You have the natives, indigenous people of the land, and then you have the cowboys who they were set like part of settling colonies, expanding out on the land and everything. But there's so many stories there that are crazy, wild, untold.
Yeah, it's going to be, that'll be cool. But, and I think that's, you know, when I think Arizona, I think of all the bullshit parts of Arizona.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, but then also,
it's like, but you're still on a fucking, you're still a border state, so shut the fuck
up. Plus, like, where this spot is pretty damn close to Mexico, so I know the food's going to be really good. So, and that, see, all of this blends into that trip I just took. So, New Orleans. I've been there. This is the fourth time I went. Mm-hmm. The rest of the times were for comedy, doing festivals and shows. And it's crazy because the place we stayed, like, I didn't notice at first when I was booking it. But I was like, oh, shit, I was really drunk there. Like, just walking distance to all these places where I was like,
drunk reminiscence.
I was like, I parked my car here during a festival and then slept in it, even though I was given a place to stay. But I was so drunk, I was like, I'm just going to sleep in my car.
I'm going to sleep in my car.
And it was like, very reminiscent for all that stuff. But then it made me realize, man, I didn't do shit when I was there for those things. I just did shows. I kind of did some stuff, like touristy type things. But it's like, you didn't really feel like, I don't know, like you were actually there. It was more just like, you're just kind of like,
and to be fair, from not knowing everyone who you may have been around with or everything, but just knowing maybe some comedians or whatever, they just kind of want to chill until they go. To, like, they don't want to go walk around and do a whole bunch of shit. They just kind of want to hang out and chill until they go do a show or just sit around at a bar for hours because they know it's like, all right.
They just want to sit and wait around, stare at their phones and and not experience any culture.
I feel like this is a little bit reminiscent of Omaha because I was like, y'all want to go do anything?
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on, y'all. Do something. We can chill here too. I'm cool with that. We can fucking watch. I'm always down to watch the Dewey Cox story. It's cool. Which I want to go.
And so, like, in one of those times when I went, we were staying up near the fairgrounds, which is kind of north of French Quarter and all that. And no one wanted to do anything. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to walk to the French Quarter. It says it's like a couple miles. Fuck it. And I walked through neighborhoods that, And with New Orleans, it's very interesting because post-Katrina, all of that, there's just all that history. There's all the original history. There's all the gentrification. There's all just so many things at play.
There's all the shit that happened even before Katrina. And that, like, they still have not recovered
from Katrina. But so this would be like 2016-ish. And I'm walking through some of these neighborhoods and I notice some of the houses, they're like gnarly and there's still the X spray paint that they did during Katrina to show how many bodies there were, how many, all that. And I was like, oh fuck, like this is heavy. But it's
heavy.
And it's like, I never would have seen that if I, and plus just walking around in New Orleans is just fascinating. But so this trip, we were in the Bywater, which is a very interesting area. It's called the Bywater because it's by the water. Hell yeah. Nailed it. But it's like an area that still is very much New Orleans. And it's not the, I think what most people think New Orleans, they think Bourbon Street and all that bullshit, which is basically this tiny shitty Las Vegas in the middle of New Orleans where it's just like we were there. There was nothing going on, nothing, no big events. And there were drunk dudes walking down Bourbon Street. And it's like, man, Sad. That's some weird uncles, and I'm a weird uncle, and I'm calling them out. But
oh fuck, I'm that weird uncle now.
I'm trying to, and this that happened during the thing. But so like we get there and walking around that neighborhood, like the Bywater area and Marini, and just all these like cool, like everywhere you look, there's like community. It's kind of the thing that I notice in these neighborhoods. Like you're just, there's different, like there's signs that are like, fuck Airbnb. And like, like just like, or like, fuck Mardi Gras. Like just all the things that they hate. And like, there's just the street art. It's not, it's all very organic. Like the way New Orleans is, and especially like the breweries and places I went, it's like, oh, this is what all those places in Denver are trying to be.
Attempting.
They're trying to create a, like a, like an artifice of this culture and like this type of thing. And so that was interesting. But yeah, just every fucking house I looked at, like just walking, it's like, oh fuck, I want to live there. Oh, this house has a bunch of random skeletons on it and it's not even fucking Halloween. Hell yeah. This house has a bunch of giant like palm plants and all kinds of crazy like garden shit going on. Fuck yeah. And like, it was just everywhere you walked, it's like, this is fucking old. This entire place was underwater like a decade ago, which is fucking crazy because Katrina hit and just that was one of the neighborhoods that was like done, like just wiped out. And that there's still all that old shit. And just I think that's why you feel that community, too, because everybody there went through all of that.
They went through it and they didn't leave. Yeah. They stayed there.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And the biggest thing about New Orleans and most cities is I was like, holy shit, it's nice to be somewhere where it's not 99% white people. And Melody pointed it out too, where she was like, this is nice. Like this, you know, you don't really notice it at first. And then you're just like, I'm like, oh man, it's like me and one other white guy. I wonder if I'm supposed to go over to him and be like, hey, what do you like?
Hi. Like, I don't know if I said this on here, but like I told you before where it was just like, always very being conscious of that, you know, and then coming down here and then just looking around more, be like more balanced out.
Yeah. All right,
cool. Yeah. I don't have to worry because every single time, like obviously Colorado's my home. Mm-hmm. It's fucking where I lived for fucking 29 years before I moved. But even still, every time I walked in, I'd like, three other people here.
Yeah, dude.
Who are not white.
And it's
every single time
and
every single company I've worked for, every single, there's been diversity, but every single time there's always been moments where it's like,
yeah. And so like the day we got in, we walked over to St. Roch Market, which, so when I looked at it, I was like, I remember being real drunk at this place, but it wasn't what it is now. And it became like a food hall. In my mind, that instantly is like, oh, somebody gentrified this shit. It's one of those fucking Denver beer hall, food hall things that are this artifice of culture where it's, So that was in my head. We get there and it's the exact opposite where it's like the people in that community, every food stall, there was like the Jamaican fucking jerk chicken shit happening. There was this fucking Greek dude. There was a Caribbean dude serving up Caribbean shit. Hell yeah. And it was just like, oh yeah, this is the way this should be, where it's like a community like thing. It was all very nice. Like it was, we eventually ate there with my sister and her family, but it was like, it's being at like a really nice mall food court. But like, yeah, dude, just.
That's honestly, that's how it should be. Like when the community is like, despite how things have turned out because of, for whatever fucking reasons, go do your own research. Again, I'm not getting all into this. I ain't screaming. None of that shit. But that's how gangs originally started out as. Everybody was trying to help and better the community and everything. And they're keeping, they're pretty much holding back police from coming in and fucking all that shit up.
But
if only that could have happened.
Man, like, it was like, one, the weather wasn't too hot. So that was nice because you know how it gets down there.
Oh, it definitely would have got muggy down there.
Yeah. But like,
because you ride up on the,
it was like it recharged my spiritual batteries just being around, like, and the food, all the food was fucking great. Every bar and like restaurant we'd go into had like its own vibe in like a very like, oh, this is just, you know, it's like a neighborhood spot, but it's like, I can't even describe it because there's nothing like that around here. Like there's nothing where it's like, it's so many transplants that it's just like, it's like LA where it's like, there's like, where's the actual real LA? Oh, you have to go out into the suburbs where everyone got pushed out to. That's like what Denver is now. I got to go to Aurora. Or I got to go down to little Saigon to find like,
oh, don't even start getting, don't even get me started on them fucking trying to push everybody.
But
out.
Yeah. And so New Orleans, it's like
new housing's my ass.
Yeah. With New Orleans, it's like, especially the areas that we were mostly in, it was like no one's been pushed out. They've all just been working together to make shit better is what it felt like. There were definitely the things with like the Airbnb, like that we stayed at an Airbnb, which I get. It's like if your neighborhood just becomes all Airbnbs, the community's gone. It's just Airbnbs. And ours was nice, but it was definitely near a lot of like the house next to us. Looked like it had not been touched since Katrina fucked it up. Like it had like a big tarp on the roof. There, it looked like a haunted house. It was kind of, it was very interesting. But yeah, just being, feeling culture. Where in Denver, I don't really feel, because so much of it's been knocked down. Where, and
you used to have our, Denver's culture used to have all up and down
Facts. Yeah.
You find all up and down Colfax. You could go downtown near the Capitol for all that. You can go to fucking Stoner Hill down there. Yeah. There's 16th Street Mall all around that area. There's plenty of other areas. Like, I wasn't outside like that in Denver. But just in terms of all the places where really if you want to go, man, you could go down. You could walk down 16th Street Mall. You could have independent vendors down there selling barbecue. Some of them would have shops. They're fucking, you know, selling Mexican food over on the side. Definitely fucking, if you wanted anything Mexican, authentic, delicious, you go all the way up and down Feds. You hit Alameda and shit. You, all that stuff. And yeah, there's like kind of a bunch of places spread out. Now, man, it's like they push them so far out. So pretty much the only places like you gonna have all the Mexicans and shit are going to pretty much still be in Commerce City, get pushed more out to Fort Lufton and Brighton, and that area. They're going to try and push more of them also out to Aurora as well, like more of the black people more out to Aurora, which is fucking disgusting because no one wanted this whole no one wanted the fucking Five Points area until they were like, oh, we can link it to downtown Denver.
Yeah.
At that time, they weren't really trying to make convenient for people to like actually affordably live there and everything. Yeah. Which, hey, they lived there before any of that shit got there.
Yeah, and I feel like back in the ratio days, it was like, oh, it's kind of cool. Like this business came in, there kind of wasn't really anything here. And then as you just gradually saw everything get knocked down and more big, just weird more buildings go up, it's like, ooh. And then so they have like their graffiti festival and that I won't talk too much shit, but it's like, to me, it's white people creating this art.
I'll talk all that bullshit. No, fuck those graffiti festivals. Yeah. Y'all wanted to arrest people because they did dope-ass graffiti art. Now you can be fucking inspired that and make money off of this shit and do fucking all these cool little... Ooh, let me do this cool graffiti contest. And now I can get... Fuck that. Some kid got his head busted in for doing that bullshit that you guys now want to come back and claim and do. Because it's under what you guys... Oh, now
you can be here. Where it's like they're creating the artifice of culture rather than just it happening. Like organically. And
you know what? All these people coming in talking about, oh, Denver's becoming so bad. Denver's been fucking like everywhere else. fucking has people who just go off and just do shit that makes no goddamn sense. Yeah. Just like every, turn on every news station, everywhere else. Sorry, it ain't just Denver. Guess what? Your oversensitive ass just came here expecting it to be something that it wasn't because you didn't know it.
You know, here's another thing I noticed. As far as long as we're talking about the,
I didn't come to Florida expecting them to know how to drive, and I'm still gonna bitch about it.
But like, so I barely saw homeless people in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Where Denver, it's like there's tent cities and right by me now, which
some motherfuckers wanted to price out like LA. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and it's definitely strange because it's like, at first I'm like, what'd they do with all the homeless people? Like, did they do something? Is there something weird going on? Did they ship them out? But it's like, oh, they probably have like adequate resources here. But, and here's,
cost of living might be able to also help with that too. Like,
here's the most controversial thing I'm ever going to say.
Okay.
The N-word. No, I'm just kidding. Joking.
You see how I was calm?
Yeah.
I already know you ain't gonna say it.
You were prepared.
I think I'd shut down if you, like, did he actually?
Yeah, so gentrification is bad.
Yes.
But I do appreciate the way they do it, at least in parts of New Orleans that I was at. See, I really have to get specific. Gentrification's bad.
There's a difference between gentrification and investing.
Yeah.
There's a big difference because if you only coming in to make shit better for you and your yuppie fucking friends, then guess what? You're pushing everybody else out and you're just as bad as everybody you claim to hate.
Because in New Orleans, especially in the Bywater, it's still very diverse. Mm-hmm. But there are, you'll walk by and there's like a house that they're redoing. And in Denver, they would knock all that down, build those fucking ugly Tetris houses. And that's why my whole neighborhood is all just ugly Tetris houses now. But there, the people that are buying them, they just keep the outside where it looks like a New Orleans house. It feels it. So the whole neighborhood still looks,
redo the inside,
all the beautiful colors on the houses and the cool designs. And they just redo the inside. And it's like that, that form, because, and you're right when you talk about investors, where Denver's mostly, these are all empty around me. It's just investors are building these fucking ugly giant buildings that have like no one in them. Where in New Orleans, it's probably like a white couple moving in and renovating a house. Like, so there's slight differences.
There's slight differences. Yeah. But I think it really does all come from like the community.
Yeah.
But if the community is allowing shit to happen, it's going to happen. Yeah.
And
like, Denver community, like, you think you're saying some controversial shit. I'm stopping myself from saying shit that I'm like, yo, I see what you're doing. Denver politics, I see what you're doing. I mean, not even Denver. Politics in general, you're being selectively lenient to make people selectively pissed off so that way in these next elections when you can try and get the house, you're going to try and toughen up on these crimes, these criminals, and start locking motherfuckers up away again. I see what you're doing.
So
you're trying to get the public scared. You're not
here's slick. And it made me really think about like myself and how I really don't feel a sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause where I live, I've been in this building for 8 years, which is insane. That's the longest I've ever lived in any one apartment. I used to, every year I would just move somewhere else. I don't know fucking anyone in this building.
Yep.
There's one old dude who's been there the whole time, or when we see each other, it's like, hey, how's it going? But it's been so many, every year it's just different people constantly changing in and out, in and out, in and out. Where it's like, I want to have like that feeling of community, but it's like impossible in places like Denver and LA where it's just transplants in and out, in and out. They're coming out here, then they're moving back to the Midwest, vice versa. Mm. But it's like, it made me long for that, where I was like, I want a weird little house with some weird little plants in a neighborhood where, you know, I'm like, that guy's crazy. That guy's cool. I walk over to this place every day. Like, I want that. And it's just really hard to get in places that have no community. And there are, but for me, where it's like, you know, and I kind of had that with back in the comedy days with a lot of the stuff we were doing, where there was kind of a sense of community, but that also was just based around a hobby where it's like, this isn't a long lasting thing. No, we're not going to be doing stand up at breweries when we're 60 years old. And if we are, that's either really hilarious or really sad.
It's perspective. Yeah. How you look at it,
but it's like, it made me really, I'm like, man, because there was this giant letters on the side of this building that said Beanlandia. And I was like, that's hilarious, because Melody and I have a lot of inner jokes about Mr. Bean, or that she's a bean, all these great little things. So I took a picture of her next to it.
Look at you guys being all cute and adorable.
Listen,
it's disgusting. I love it.
That's what we do now. But but I took a picture of it and later looked it up, and it's like Beanlandia in that area right in the Bywater is like a community group, like fighting to keep things, like we're going to keep things like this where we're a community. We're not going to let investors in. We're not going to let things just get... we're not going to let everything get knocked down to be replaced with just ugly bullshit. So, it's... Yeah, it made me long for that a lot. And then there was also a very... Because you know kind of my history with my sister. We don't really talk or hang out. Mm-hmm. And, like, I haven't seen her family. I haven't seen my niece and nephew since they're, like, real little. And I used to have lots of stand-up jokes about all that. But, like... So we got together and got lunch with them. It was great. Everything was fun. It was nice to just be like people and just like, oh yeah, we can do this. All the, whatever the past is the past. And I think kind of how I always thought of it was really hard for me when I was younger to interact with someone who I had nothing in common with. Yeah. I was like, nah. And I was very wrapped up in myself and what I was doing. So it was hard to kind of like allow that. Mm-hmm. So it's nice now. But it was very funny because so they're fairly well to do. Mm-hmm. They live in Baton Rouge in a very white area.
Yeah.
And my niece and nephew are half Hispanic. I don't think they know that.
Probably not.
I think they have a...
That's an unfortunate thing that, like, man, you can even... It even goes down to recent history, which recent for me, older for some. Yeah. Even recent history where somebody like Richie Valens, like... fuck, what is it?
Shout out Ricardo? La Bamba.
Yeah. Ricardo... I'm a bad Mexican right now that I'm forgetting his fucking name. But they changed it to Richie Valens because it's, like, more... Yeah, but there was also generations of Spanish speaking people who came to this country and did not teach their kids Spanish.
Yeah,
because they didn't want them to know it, because they didn't want them to be. And now it's gone to this whole thing where it's funny you bring this up, and I'm not saying anything about your nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about your nieces and nephews. Yeah. But this is out of confusion when that Latinos for Trump shit comes up, and it pisses me off because it's like, excuse me, Ted Cruz, you got this last ass name, but you are sure as this fucking fool. Yeah. Let me hop on my knees. I want to prove I'm as white as I can be. Fucking
yeah, it's
bullshit right there. Like,
it's,
and again, it's not them.
I'm glad
that's kind of like that confusion is kind of where it stems from. It's also the same thing. Like, you can have that, and I can speak on this being a fucking mixed race person. I hear more things from anybody. Yeah, yeah. I've even had white people very blunt with me who are not my friends, and. Watch your mouth, sir. I'll smack you. But even with it's like it even happens when you have like this happens now. You're seeing it. It's happening with marketing, and I hate it. It's so rough. It's so hard because it's not anything against their talent, but it's really fucked up. You have these light-complected mixed girls who they are acting the part. Oh, I'm black. I'm sassy. I'm this. I'm that. I'm that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. Do your thing. I'm definitely not a woman. Do your shit. I don't know anything about being a woman. All I can say is from what I've seen, and I grew up with women, so this is my perspective on this shit, okay? When it comes to certain things, though, they are more than happy to fucking wipe their hands and play the other side of just, oh, but I'm mixed. I've never been fully embraced by there, so I can only speak for myself, and I can only do this, and it just happens to cater to the whiter side. Like, it sucks because I know what it's like having that fucking identity crisis. I don't know what it's like having the identity crisis of... being a mixed, like, being non-white and white.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a whole different identity thing in itself.
Yeah.
But coming from people where both cultures have embraced you and really fucking let you down, and then to embrace more culture that's just like, well, where the fuck was all, like, all of this, and just having this, like, it's hard for a person, especially not knowing what they're going through. But you get these people who, too, don't care to... Either they don't care to embrace it, which I've seen that, where it's like, I don't care to know about that. Like, where the fuck, why would I give a shit about that? Or the ones who just, they're not around it. So until they get exposed to it, they don't really like.
Well, yeah. And that's exactly, like, that's the exact point. If you're not around shit, it's like, you're just.
That's what you fall into.
Yeah. And like, so my niece and nephew, There's like sports kids. They go to the beach. They go to, it's awesome. They have great lives. They were a little like, I could tell they were nervous about being in New Orleans.
Gotcha.
They had a little bit of that nervous energy. And plus being around like their uncle who they haven't seen in a while, that's probably where they're like, all right.
Yeah, they're like, who
the, and then Melody this being this brand new person who's there too. But
yeah.
And you could tell like, and I heard even afterwards that they were like, that, were we in the ghetto? Like, and it's like,
man, I have some funny stories about like, when I was at an arts
school. Yeah, and it's like, you guys are just around suburban white affluent shit so much that just being around any, and it's like where we were was like, to me, I'm like, this is a little more gentrified. Well, not gentrified, it was mostly people of color building new businesses there, so that's not gentrified, that's just revitalized. But it was like, I could have taken them to the Ninth Ward and we could have really had some shit. Oh,
we're like, it's like, you guys want to get scared because I could potentially risk all of our lives.
Yeah, right? There's, you want to see that. But it was funny though, because then my nephew, Alex, he's like, and it's how I was when I was that age. So this is, of course, not me saying anything because he's exactly like me. Like, your food choices are very basic. And you're very much just into that. And so he was like, you know, we were at first going to go to a place called Morrow's, but it was way too busy because it's a way popular restaurant. So we went to that food hall I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I don't understand any of this at all. I just want Raising Cane's. And I was like, dude, I would love Raising Cane's as well. But but here's what you can do. Go to the, and my sister kind of navigated him this way too. It was like, so you like mac and cheese and chicken. We're going to take you to the Jamaican Jerk thing. They got some mac and cheese and some chicken. And of course he's like, oh geez, this isn't like Raising Cane's. I'm going to hate it because that's how kids are.
It's how kids are.
He wound up being like, that was the best chicken I've ever had in my life. And I was like,
fucking delicious.
I was like, yeah, did you look at who made that chicken?
Yes.
Raising Cane's. Yeah, Raising Cane's. It's a bunch of teenagers reheating frozen shit.
That's it.
The jerk was the jerk chicken, which he just got like the regular chicken, not the full jerk experience, but it's like that food stand, those were those dudes.
Something is inappropriately funny about you saying your nephew didn't get the full jerk
experience. So he will when he's older. But
it's still hilarious.
But it was so that was like where it's like, yeah, the best food is made by people of color. Like, you're gonna learn that. I think if you're mostly in the suburbs and eating Raising Cane's, it's like, yeah, this is like the best food ever. But it's
because,
like,
because more than likely your mom's not cooking, and if they do, again,
yeah,
nothing personal, but I've been to some of these suburban houses and had some of these dinners where I'm like, yo, if I've been cooking since I was 7 and I'm sitting here at this house saying, yo, I could cook this better for your whole family.
And listen, nothing against,
why you eat fast food all the time, my friend, because Jesus.
Nothing against my family's cooking. It was very much like lower class. This is just how we make it happen. Got a bunch of kids. And with white Midwesterners, we fit that stereotype. No real seasoning. Not very basic. So But I know my mom and sister are both. They get
on the opposite side. Food is delicious.
Yeah.
But a lot of us are overweight.
Yep. Yeah, big
had
and fat.
We too much sodium. That's why we got to get better with the, you know, with what we cook with. Less lard, maybe some more olive oil, some more butter instead.
But
a little bit better.
So kind of this, that whole experience from with like my family, it was like, I want to take these kids to like cool places and be like, this is what you should like. And it's weird to me because I'm like, and my sister's husband, George, is, he's just a cool dude where he was like, this is New Orleans. Like when they're like weird about it, he's like, this is what New Orleans is. Like, cause he, like his job involves working with a lot of student athletes who are predominantly of color. So,
and guess what? Who come from some, I bet you he's come across some students who have a background where he had to like take a moment to himself internally and go, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because I know he's had to, like, if you're coaching these kids, especially at that level, you got to know them on somewhat of a, like, a personal level. You have to know them.
Yeah.
You have to know what makes them tick. You have to know what's, like, what makes them have a rough day, what they got to push through. Like,
So, I
can only imagine. And that's the thing, too, like, wanting to give your niece and nephew those experiences. Because think about it. When you're, unless you're exposed to some shit, your mind doesn't really get ticking to go that way. Like, people can easily get stuck in a routine or something because if it's all they know,
Humans
so easily develop routine.
Try to imagine me if I'd never left Columbus, Nebraska.
Yes, you told me all these stories about you in your 20s, and I said, man, I don't know if we would have been friends in your 20s. I'd have been cool. I'd have been like, oh, let's see what he's about. And then I'm either going to smack him or I got to go.
I feel like I would, if I'd never left Columbus, so not even Omaha, if I never went to Omaha or Lincoln, if I was just in Columbus, I would have to be a juggalo.
You think so?
Just part of my soul just feels that.
I don't know. Early 20s you was like a terror, but I don't know.
Well, because early 20s me had at least been to Omaha and lived there a little bit. So it's
because I'm saying I wouldn't put your terror on juggalo.
That's true. That's true. I would have just. What if I was just super right wing?
I don't. You know what? I don't see right wing, but I definitely 100% would per se chaotic neutral.
Yeah, where I just don't give a fuck. 1000%
chaotic neutral. Like you'd still have that. Like you'd be an asshole, but you probably like wouldn't go super far.
Yeah.
With things.
Because my parents
you'd be to a point where you're like, fuck this. I'm done.
My parents are very liberal, so I'm curious if I would have just been like tried to like. Spin the other way, but
not. Dude, you're still super punk rocky. You wouldn't. I don't see you ever going. You'd probably be more the one where it's just like you're taking some of the punk rock and anarchy like lyrics way too hard, and you're like, yeah, that's what I'm about to do.
Like I would just be
I'm fucking burning every house I'm in. If I don't like it, I'm just burning this bitch down. And
I think you just figured it out. Instead, I would have never gotten to the more nuanced punk rock stuff. Mm-hmm. I would have just been into like Korn and Slipknot. But I would have been one of those dudes. Nothing. Those bands both rock and are great.
Oh, that's my shit. That's my shit. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Be hanging out in parking lots at night, just drinking a Mickey's 40, wearing my big old jeans. That would have been me. I feel like as an uncle, I never really thought about it because I was like, my sister has kids, but they're like way different than me. But I think I now have a sense of my uncle duties. Where before it's like, I'm going to buy him beer. No, we're not going to do that. Instead, it's now like, I'm going to try anytime I'm around them to get them to experience something new that's not suburban white culture.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of what I
feel. And it can be hard, too, because I wanted to do that with my nephew, but I'm like, you're so young.
Yeah.
And there's not really a lot of places I can, A, take you to. That like I would feel comfortable taking you to right now, or you're old enough for, and we're also here. Like, I'm broke.
Yeah,
I got the money to do all the stuff with you that I would like you to do. But also, that's what I would eventually like to do. I want to take family trips where it's like, hey, dude, look at this shit. This is pretty cool.
And I think my approach too. I'm trying to be mindful because it's like they are mixed race, and I am very white. Where I don't want to be like. Here, as a white guy, let me show you other cultures. Like, I don't want to be that dude. So it's more like, hey, here's some. You like Raising Cane's? Here's if Raising Cane's was like really good, like that kind of thing.
Here's if Raising Cane's was cooked with love and care.
Yeah, instead of a nice teenager doing it.
Because I'll tell you right now, Raising Cane's ain't bad.
Yeah,
it ain't. It's bad great. At all.
I love it,
but it's not the best. I've ever had.
There's you can.
It ain't the best bread I've ever had. It ain't the best chicken I've ever had.
So
I fries whatever.
They're kind of whatever on the fries.
What all to me? Because guess what? I can cook potatoes. However, I can cook anything the way I fucking want.
Yeah, and really? See, I could go on like another half hour about Runza and how Runza has the best fries. And it's I feel like Runza. Did you eat at Runza at all in Nebraska? Mm-hmm. I swear I made.
I
you.
Ate at Runza.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you didn't make me. I was like, we're here. Yeah. Let's try it because I wanted to get. The Runza and then one of the other... I got the Runza sandwich.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck it was. I got the Runza and then I got something else.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to want more than just one.
Dude. Like, is that my white culture, Runza? If I'm like, this is what my people ate. This is... We survived on Runza. My mom said the Runza in Columbus, the small town they live in right now, is being rebuilt. So they just have a Runza food truck in the parking lot that's serving shit up. Like, that's dope.
Oh, nice.
I want to go to that.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to have them drive it out here. I'm going to pay thousands of dollars to be like...
For the Runza? Dude, you don't know what I would do to get the OG fries back from Good Times.
Oh, dude, I've heard about those. I don't think I ever really had them.
They were, and that's why it's so. I can't judge. Everyone talked about McDonald's fries, trash.
Yeah,
get that. Oh, get those overly salty fucking witch fingers out of my face.
It's like 80% salt. Fuck that.
Yeah, it's you know why it's hard? Because that's all crystallized salt. That's not even a potato.
Yep.
It's 20% potato, 80% salt.
There's a little bit of potato in the middle.
A little bit of potato. There's like, what they do is they get the potato sticks and then they just fry that in salt, pretty much, is what they do. And that's...
Dude, so the last thing I'll say about New Orleans, I did get to experience my people's culture.
Yeah, well, and how did you experience that?
In the French Quarter, tucked away, away from the devils, the Yacoubian devils.
Those goddamn Yacoubs.
There's an Irish... I think it was the said Irish Cultural Center.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, it's going to be lame. Every time it's like something lame, it's mostly like, oh, Guinness. Like, okay.
Guinness, my darling. Yeah.
But what it was is it's just a room full of like photos and like little placards and things. And it's just open. You just walk into this room for free. And different Irish founders of New Orleans, like the original, the OG Irish people. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. And then you walk into a courtyard, like a big outdoor courtyard. And then there's a little bar slash coffee shop called St. Pat's. And I'm used to Irish restaurants and bars being like the facade of Irish, where it's like, shout out Oliver's, but...
Hi, welcome to Oliver's. Here, have a drink with us.
But where it's like very like fake. It's just like, oh, this is white just, Americans, what we think Ireland is. There's
clovers everywhere. Yeah. It's just like, guys, paddy wagon is an offensive term to Irish people. So that's Irish not car be bombs. The name of
not cool.
Yeah, not a good drink to have.
But so you walk in and it's just like this little Irish bar. With just like shitloads of whiskeys, where my mom, I took a picture and sent it to her, and she was like, "What's this one? What's that one?" Yeah, and just like had an Irish coffee in the middle of the day, and it was lovely. So I got to experience a little bit of my culture. And then immediately after that, we went to the Museum of Death and saw a bunch of dead bodies and serial killer handwritten letters and shit. So wonderful time, wonderful trip.
You visit any other ooky spooky places? Well, we went to, did you try to leave with clean energy?
Yeah, because Melody wanted that, and then we went to the where you have to take a tour of the cemetery where the voodoo lady is buried. But they definitely show
Madame LeBeau.
But they show you not her tomb. They're like, here it is. Here's her tomb, her real tomb. Because I'm like, nah, I've seen that. That's not that.
Yeah, it's like, not the real one.
Not even on the tour. It's tucked away, but it has a bunch of X's all over it. So you're like,
it's like, don't that's that voodoo shit. Go near this shit.
And also saw, of course, Nicolas Cage's tomb. That he,
of course,
it's the only thing he was able to keep when he went bankrupt. Because
exactly.
By law, they can't take away like your burial site. So
because you've already paid for that shit, and that's the one thing they still make your ass pay for. So legally, nope.
But everything else, but it was so that was nice. But that like doing the touristy shit's nice, but it was also like you have to be around a bunch of tourists, so it's not as fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
the downside.
But it was cool. It was cool. Everything worked out.
That's dope.
If anything, we came back here and just realized how brown Colorado is. Because we were on just green, lush. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, there's fires again. Great. All summer is going to be fires. Awesome.
Yep.
But yeah. Yeah,
that's also the downside, too. Unless you're really up in the mountains all the time, it's just Denver's just flat. Like, the mountains look great, but really, from the distance, it just looks like rock.
But yeah.
So all it just looks like rock. Like, it's like, oh, plains. Rocky. Get it. It's like, all just like rocky mountains.
And just plains that are, like, brown. Mm-hmm.
You got to get closer up in there through the valleys where you're like, oh, this is a forest and there's fire.
Look at that forest. Awesome. It's on fire.
Look at that forest on fire. That was a good hiking spot.
But yeah, so to sum up the whole episode, gentrification rocks. I think I said I wonder if the title should just be like, gentrification is good.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't make myself do it. I'm like, no.
Yeah. We'll come up with something better. But yeah, we've talked about travel before and all the benefits, and it's just getting to do it is, especially with the roles we currently have at our jobs, it's nice to just be able
to remote.
Yeah. Like I finally got to do it for a full week of training folks for 5 hours a day and then just jumping out and walking around New Orleans. It was like, yep, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't think I have any. Did I? There are no homeless people. They definitely put them all somewhere where I couldn't see them. Where are you hiding the homeless people?
Yeah.
Oh, they're supported. Oh, that makes sense. We're here. They're like, we're just going to take all your stuff away from you every 3 months.
You can't afford to not be homeless?
Yeah.
Sounds strange.
Yeah. Dude, if I'm starting to think about that, too. I'm like, I want a sense of community. I want to actually own property eventually. Mm-hmm. God forbid. We're the generation that will never probably own anything, but like at least half of us, but like it's like I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do all that here. I'm gonna have to start exploring other things. But yeah,
definitely. Trust me, if it wasn't for like knowing my grandfather owns like his home and everything there, I'd be like, I don't even know if I'd fucking really have a place to go back to.
Yeah,
like it's crazy. That's really like, and of course Colorado's home, so I'd like to go back. I would like to own property there. I always want to be a hermit. I want to own something up in the mountains so I can just fuck off and just be away from people when I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. That's the dream.
If you want to see me, come drive 5 hours up here to visit. It'll be worth it, but you got to make the trip. You got how much you love me.
You could be like Brandon and move up to the mountains and be pissed that no one wants to drive up there, even though he's not very far, to be fair.
No.
Shout out.
He's not, but it's just like, man, when I was up there, dude, I got so much going on.
Yeah.
Like, by the time I get done with my job, I don't want to drive anywhere. Yeah. And now it's just like, now even with my job now, I'm like, if I don't have to leave the house, I ain't gonna.
Dude, that's the dream. Just, you get us.
I definitely have the motivation and I feel better to do so. So.
Yeah. But hey, we're just expanding our horizons.
Trying to.
Yeah. And that's all about being a better and sweeter dude. Suck it.
And again, trying to be a better and sweeter dude.
That's the thing, is we can never truly say, like, I did it. The person I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Because it's always evolving.
So always evolving, always changing. There may be like a good foundation there. Like, I have a good foundation of self, but I definitely always have ways where I'm like, I want to improve that in the future. Like, I want to keep improving upon it.
And I think we're going to have an episode here soon with our friend Andrew.
Yes.
If he fucking shows. No, see, now I'm just start burying, because I know he won't listen to this, so just bury him at the end. But and I think just because the three of us talk every day.
Pretty much.
I want to have the episode be about how the last 2 to 3 years have changed us as people. And thinking about that. So that'll be coming up in the future.
We kind of did actually inadvertently have that conversation.
Yeah. But I think having like his insight too, because we've had some conversations on Slack that are very like involving our goals and things like that. So I think that's a peep into it, what we're going to be doing next. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. But what are you into right now? What's going on?
Oh, man. Let's see. Shows I'm watching. Demon Slayer. Just binged through Peaky Blinders, so I'm waiting for season 6 of that.
There you go.
That Peaky Blinders is some good shit.
I've never watched it, so I'll give it a shot.
It's good. It's good. I was like, okay, it's going to be a period piece type deal, and I was interested in it at first. But it's one of those things where I hate now having to keep up with shows. Like, I have a select few shows that I'm going to constantly keep up with, so I'll wait every week for that. Other than that, everything else, I'm just gonna wait for it to come out.
Yeah.
But Peaky Blinders is good.
It's also I think waiting until the shit's already been out for years and then doing it is nice, because
I like just binging,
because I'm trying to catch up on Last Kingdom so I can catch up with you and my
dad. Last Kingdom is fucking dope. Last Kingdom was awesome. I love it. So what happens when you don't have lazy writers?
So Melody started rewatching Lost.
Uh-huh.
And she's like working her way through that. And then one of the bars we were at just had Lost on. And I was like, this must be like, people must be like diving back into Lost,
trying to figure out what the fuck was Lost.
And I got really into then being like, well, the first big dramatic ensemble show, at least for HBO, was Oz.
Yep.
And what I noticed is, like, there's, like, 4 dudes that were in Oz that are in Lost. And I was, like, then I got convinced, same people had to work on it. But apparently it was, like, though, they just saw Oz and were, like, these guys are awesome. And, like,
because there was Oz and then
Sopranos was
Sopranos,
yeah.
Wire.
Oh, The Wire, I think, was right after. Yeah. But Oz kicked all of this shit off with, like, the ensemble, multi-season.
The ensemble, real gritty.
Yep.
Real dramatic. Because before that, you didn't ensemble. Yeah, you're right. I think you're on to this. Yeah. Because before that, most ensemble like crime shit, I think, was just mostly movies.
Yeah, and like CSI type shit, which it's
like, CSI type shit. But that's all like, but that's not from the criminal's perspective.
Yeah.
A lot of the like your ensemble shits back then were like fucking Cheers or Friends, pretty much. Like,
But so it's interesting because she's rewatching Lost. And of course, Lost was a great show that, of course, then just trailed off into fucking oblivion. But that kind of noticing all that, it's like, I got to rewatch Oz.
Yeah.
Like, I got to, it's been a while.
I've heard good things about Oz too, but I just
do fucking
some of those shows. I'm like, I hear good stuff, but I don't really care.
But that's so that's, I think that's going to be my next, is going to Oz. Just to, because it's, I watched all of it. I kind of remember there was an episode that was a musical, which blew my fucking mind. Nice. But yeah, I think that's where my head's going, is towards Oz. Hell but besides like the other shit, I watch, when we were in New Orleans, we found a kind of cool independent little theater that reminded me if like the dudes from the High Dive worked at a movie theater. Which, that's a very Denver reference, but think of like a dive bar where a guy has death tattooed on his knuckles.
True punk rock.
Yeah. Like
dive bar.
Yep. But as a movie theater.
Yeah.
It was fucking...
Is this the tattoo up here?
Oh, rim job? Right. Shout out JJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's JJ the legend at High Dive.
Fuck yeah.
But so this...
I every so often I do tell people, I'm like, man, I feel like I've met a dude who just has a rim job, just tattooed. And they're just like, that.
And he's the nicest. Cool. He's like one of the greatest dudes ever.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in Denver and at the High Dive, go say hi to JJ.
Good quality shit there.
He has the word rim job tattooed above his eye. But I think after going to that theater, one, I want to start, every time I travel to a city, find an independent theater to go see a movie at.
That'd be really cool, yeah.
Because Alamo's cool, but Alamo has become
what it is. It's become mainstream.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. But anyways, we saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
How was it?
Incredible. Incredible movie where I, like, there was not a down moment. There was not, it was just constantly weird, wild. There's martial arts shit. There's sci-fi shit. And then, like, there's just the most...
They were true to their name.
The most touching, heartfelt, where I'm crying in the movie theater. And I'm like, I don't care. I knew it. I was going to try to fight it, but I just cut loose. And I've laughed. I've gotten to tons of really good movies that were really funny, and I don't really laugh. I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
But that, I was laughing my ass off. So everyone needs to see Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's so good. Plus, fucking... just spaced the dude's name, but he was the guy that played Short Round in Indiana Jones. I think his name's Key.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Key. Can't remember his last name. But and then he was also Data in Goonies. This is the first movie he's done since then.
No shit.
So it's his like triumphant return to Hollywood, and he did an interview on Kimmel, and it was very like emotional. But yeah, fantastic movie. Gotta check it out. And then I also went and saw The Norseman.
Nice. Which
I think you're going to really dig The Norseman because it's based on the Icelandic tale that then Hamlet was based on.
Hell yeah.
The
OGs, the origins of it.
So it's basically Hamlet mixed with Conan the Barbarian. So I think, but yeah, it was badass. Nice. I drank a whole soda trying to stay awake during the movie, and then
is it long?
I was holding my piss for the last 30 minutes, and it made me not appreciate the last 30 minutes of the movie. So don't
like hurry the fuck.
Yeah, that's my. I'm an old man. I have to, and I'm also being super hydrated. I'm drinking lots of water, so
same.
I need to start going for pee breaks during movies, even though I try to avoid it at all costs.
I hear you. I did watch The Batman.
Oh yeah, what'd you think?
I was like, this shit is dark.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this shit is dark.
Yeah. My dad just watched it, and he reviewed it. His review was basically like, he prefers a Batman with like gadgets, and it's kind of fun and can still be a little dark. That was kind of his train of thought. But
I like it. I like the dark tone of it. Yeah. But again, I'm one of these people who, if you're giving me a different... like portrayal of a comic book character, I'm all for it, because the character, like the comic books, also do different versions of them too. So if I'm getting a different, like, this is a different movie version of, like, this director's version of the Batman if in his second year versus, like, oh, what Christian Bale was in, like, yeah. Batman Begins or something like that. I like them because they, you know, they're just, they're very distinguishable from one another. The tone I like is really good. I could get more into it. I'm not going to film and analyze it.
After I watched it up till now, like when I was in New Orleans, I didn't bring my Switch. I didn't really watch TV very much. I just was reading Batman comics because it got me back into like reading those stories. So that was nice where I never was really that into Batman. But now I'm like, there was some cool shit with Batman. He had so many teenagers fighting for him. I didn't realize there were like a dozen of them in the comics.
And I see the little nod towards a potential new introduction of Bane into this with that serum that he used at the end. Which, by the way, if this is the route we take it, I'm your Bane right here. Fuck that. I'm your goddamn Bane right here.
This is the one thing Batman movies need to do. One of them needs to do Scarface, the little ventriloquist dummy.
Scarface. You don't know I know Scarface. Yeah,
he was in the animated, but never in a actual live
action. Name is Scarface. Yeah, Scarface. That's right.
And then the ventriloquist is like, I don't. Yeah. Hey, listen, he's upset. Where it's like the insane. Yeah. But then that's in the comics. Scarface is like one of the most badass villains. Mm-hmm. So I want to see a Scarface in one of the live action ones and bring Poison Ivy back. Do a dark ass Poison Ivy.
Dude, well, I think that ventriloquist would work really well in this one because they fucking, even like when Riddler was unmasked, I was like, this motherfucker's unsettling. I like it.
Yep. They, of course, now when you have a villain, it has to be a white guy with glasses. That's just who's on the internet a lot. That's my
culture. IT nerds. It used to be the Russians and the Swedes. Yep. Now it's just IT nerds.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's a really good point.
Well, I'm telling
you. It did go like Die Hard had like the European terrorists. Then we really leaned into like Arabic terrorists, but that was like, come on. What are you?
But then even with that, it was Arabic, which was like the ground forces, but then you always had someone like higher up behind it and everything. So now it's all, and then it's slowly been transitioning to technology. How's it coming down, dude? The nerdy looking guys.
And if we're going to be honest, white dudes with internet access are the number one terrorists.
Any white dudes with internet?
Yep.
Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Anyone? All right.
Who?
All domestic terrorists.
We should all be on a watch list. That's all I'm saying.
Morgan shakes her head in agreement. Other than movies, man, I've just been playing Black Flag, which has been dope.
Hell yeah, me too.
Black Flag has been really cool. I am now trying to, for some... some reason I'm trying to 100% Kingdom Hearts Final Mix.
That's
two, or Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix.
See, that's the kind of shit that is too much for me. I'm not trying
to get all the achievements. Okay. I'm just trying to 100% like a single campaign. Fuck all the achievements. I don't want all the gold, platinum trophies. I'm good. I'm just trying to do what I did in Kingdom Hearts 1. Find everybody.
Yeah.
Get all the key blades. Get the ultimate blade. Fucking level up to
99. I think the perfect way we can end this is by giving Assassin's Creed Black Flag its flowers as being the best Assassin's Creed game.
I haven't even finished this game. I'll say hands down because I'm not an Assassin's Creed fan because I don't like all the sneaking around. But being a fucking pirate, doing all that shit. Man, I'm taking down naval bases and shit.
Yeah. Listen, that game came out, what was it, 2011 or some shit?
16.
Oh, 16, okay.
I think 2016. Yeah. And it's been fucking rocking
since. And I've played, like, the Viking one that just came out and the Greek one that came out before that are both great. Odyssey, and then there was Origins in Egypt. Those were the three after. So Assassin's Creed Black Flag basically ended. They're like, you know what, all this sneaking around shit, it's fine. But what if you just stabbed a bunch of guys in the face with a sword and shot him with a little blunderbuss?
Odyssey is the only one I want to play next just because it's in Egypt. But then again, it's like, I want to know.
Yeah.
An accurate portrayal of Egypt.
Origins is the Egyptian one. I played it. It's great. And it's
okay.
I know their team tries to be accurate.
Okay. And because they usually try and be authentic with it. Yeah. I just didn't want to get there and like, is this all white faces?
It's like that. What was that movie? That Egyptian
motherfucking Gods of Egypt, or Kings of, or whatever the fuck these fucking. Sorry, Jamie Lannister and Gerard Butler. I'm not.
I have one more thing to tie in. Moon Knight. Have you been watching Moon Knight?
I haven't been watching it yet. I haven't.
That's some Egyptian shit with
okay
non-white faces. Ethan Hawke's in it, but he's a villain.
That's fine. But I love Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke's great.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke's big.
Let's give Ethan Hawke his flowers.
Fuck yeah. Shout out Ethan Hawke.
He was in
fucking Training Day. He's been in the first movie I ever saw him in was Gattaca. Yep. That's the first movie I saw him and Uma Thurman in. Yep. And there's another actor in that movie, but the first movie I saw that actor in was what's the Robin Williams movie? Captain My Captain.
Oh, fuck. Dead Poets Society.
Yes. I remember all that.
So I'll give Ethan Hawke was also in The Northman.
Ooh, nice.
And he had a really good Showtime limited series called The Good Lord Bird, where he played He played that John Brown dude who was like fighting the Confederates in the South. Oh. It's really good. And did I mess up the historical reference? It was John Brown, right? Yeah.
Maybe.
Old wild dude who was wild Christian, but he also was like, slavery's an abomination. We need to end this. Let's get some guns. And it's like, hell yeah. Let's get some
motherfucking guns and revolution in this bitch. Yeah.
So shout out Ethan Hawke. I know you're listening. Shout out Ethan
Hawke. Yeah. You know what, man? I fucking love, and I'm forgetting the name of the vampire movie too. I just forgot
about it too. Blade?
Dark. No. That was Steven Dorff.
He's the lesser Ethan Hawke.
Hey.
He's the poor man's Ethan Hawke. Fuck Steven Dorff.
Wow.
That's the name of the episode. Fuck Steven Dorff.
It will not be the name of this episode.
But yeah.
Oh man. So the vampire movie where he pretty much.
Yeah.
I can't remember it, but yeah. Shout out Ethan Hawke.
So shout out project-nerd.com.
Project-nerd.com for all your nerdly needs, ladies and gentlemen.
You can check us out, dudesweetcast.com. Me, just Ian Douglas Terry on whatever. I don't really.
Me.
Yeah.
Black Skin Thunder or Black Skin Thunder.
Yeah.
Fuck was that ER shit? On the Instas or the just, you know, commenting shit all over YouTube.
But yeah.
About how the system is flawed.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We might have a guest soon.
Yep. Soon is soon for us.
Once
so we'll let
once you're you'll of a, see what the Once you're drops. Of a certain age, one, it's hard to hang out with your friends because you're just like, oh, I don't have the energy. Now trying to wrangle them into being on a podcast, that's a whole other thing. But we'll do our very best.
My God. Yeah. And especially in this whole, I'm not even going to ramble about podcasts this time. Anyway, you podcasters are continuing to fuck it. Well, you guys already fucked it up beyond control. So until then, everyone else listening to these podcasts, enjoy. Hopefully all your podcasts don't have too many ads that are ridiculous that you have to listen to.
This show is sponsored by Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke. He is not Steven Dorff. But thank you for listening. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Dude sweet.
Dude sweet. Suck it.
You don't have to.
Obviously not.
But with consent. If you
want to, you know. Consensually, if you want to. You can.
Also, fuck Steven Dorff.
Wow.